Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Minister Kathy Pittman at Laborers for Christ Ministry, 1750 West 103rd Street in Chicago, Illinois. We would like to welcome you to our Wednesday night service, and we would like to start out with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you on this evening, Father. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. God, I lift not just Laborers for Christ Ministries up to you, but all of the ministries throughout the world and throughout the nation, God. We thank you, God, that you are here for us, that you died on the cross, God, and that we have someone to come to when we are in need, Father. And we thank you that we are continuously getting to know you, God, and building a relationship with you, Father. Father, I lift all leaders up in the mighty name of Jesus. Apostle Dr. Seanette Houghton is our angel of this house here at Laborers for Christ Ministry. We ask that you would bless her family right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and all leadership and laymen and children, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We have been talking about Perry Stone's book, There's a Crack in Your Armor. And tonight we're going to just have a little open discussion on Chapter 8, which is Discovering and Wearing the Shield of Favor. I so totally enjoyed the study time, this chapter. The entire book is great, but like I said, we're going to focus on discovering and wearing the shield of favor. We're going to start out with Psalms 5 and 12, and I'm reading from, I'm going to do a parallel from the Parallel Bible, which will go from King James Version back to the Amplified. And the Amplified says, "For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromising righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you. As with a shield, you will surround him with good pleasure. You will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor." Now, the King James Version says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." When I think about the word shield, we're talking about the shield of favor. It made me think about, in the natural, an old weekly movie that I used to watch called Wonder Woman, with Linda Carter, and she was a chosen goddess of some kind. But the what I liked about it most of all was that there was something different about her as opposed to the regular, what I would call regular people. So she would have a shield, and that shield would cover her head. It would cover her wrist. I mean, it basically just covered her entire body, and she would put it on and turn around, and whoop, she would turn into Wonder Woman. So if we think that's in the natural, so if we think about it in the spiritual, God is our shield of favor. Now, most of the time we hear people talk about the shield of faith. But in my studies, I found out in order to have the shield of favor, you first have to have the shield of faith. Because your shield of faith automatically activates your shield of favor. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. We pray that prayer. We're covered by a lot of different things. But the shield of favor, I never thought about it like that. I just stayed on the shield of faith. Now, when we cultivate God's righteousness, then his favor. It automatically encompasses us. It automatically protects us. Now, the shield of favor, just like the shield of faith, it's invisible and it's invincible, and it provides us with the ability to be able to deal with the pressures of life. It's the shield of favor is like a shield that's between us and the forces of evil, I want to say. If somebody could get Proverbs 16 and 15 for me, and Proverbs 19 and 12. Proverbs 16 and 15. 16 and 15 says, "In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud bringing the spring rain." God typifies his presence is that cloud that surrounds us. We're always walking under the cloud of his latter rain. So in order to do that, you have to have a relationship. You have to have a relationship with God. Proverbs 19 and 12. Proverbs 19 and 12 says, "The king's wrath is as terrifying as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as refreshing as dew upon the grass." What that means is that you will never, as long as you walk with God, you will never be spiritually dry, because you will always, again, under the favor of God. If you think about the rain, the medicinal purposes that it has for this earth. For some people, rain, you know, it makes them feel sad. But then for other people, it brings them a calm. It brings them a peace. They actually love that. For some people, that's their favorite time of the year, the rainy season. And when it rains outside, it has a purification in the land. It causes life. It causes the plants to grow. It causes the grass to grow. It causes the leaves to bud. It causes the branches to grow on the trees. So you will never be spiritually dry as long as you walk under God's favor. Genesis 12 and 2. And 2, in the King James Version says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." When you walk in favor of God, you can impart his blessings to other people. Because when I'm blessed with the favor of God, it allows me, let's say a financial blessing, it allows me to bless other people. And that's how they, in turn, get that blessed also by the favor of God. Well, what we're supposed to do is we are supposed to be a blessing to one another. So when I'm blessed by God's favor, and let's say Brother Dean, I see that there's a need in his life, and I am able to, it could be a financial blessing, it could be just simply prayer, it could be a word of encouragement. Because I completely and totally, or try to, walk in the favor of God. And that, we need to understand that just does not mean finance. It could mean you having victory over the circumstances in your life. That to me is the favor of God, because many times we give over to the enemy wants us to have a bad attitude, or, you know, respond in a negative way to something. That's not the favor of God. But when you respond in a positive way, in the way you think that God would have you to handle that situation, to me, that's the favor of God. And that's a blessing. It can change the whole atmosphere and the environment, your attitude, how you react to people, how people react to you. If you got a bad attitude or something and you project that to someone and they're responding to you, that's not good, but they're responding to you and your bad attitude. And that's, again, is when you walk in this favor, you are, and you spread that favor around, you're a rain bearer. You know, it don't have to be just be raining outside. It could be raining inside. 2 Corinthians 2:14-15 talks about the fragrance of Christ, a sweet-smelling, I could just stop there and say a sweet-smelling. We got some smells that don't smell so good. I guess that's the nicest way to put it. But the sweet-smelling savior of God, the fragrance of Christ, is an absolutely beautiful aroma. Because it's peaceful, it's graceful, it's honorable, and it carries integrity with it because it is who He is and a part of who He is, and God's favor can open doors that no man can shut. God's favor can cause you to be in the right place at the right time. God's favor can cause you to meet the right people. God's favor can cause you to have supernatural provision made from absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You wonder, how did that happen and where did it come from? God's favor can cause your health to be restored. I know an apostle who was diagnosed with cancer. And by all looks, if you were to look at him, I think that cancer ate him down to like 98 pounds, and this was a 200-plus pound man. But at the end of the day, we give thanks to God, he is still here. Now, my own brother was diagnosed with stage 4 carcinoma cancer, and he's gone on to be with the Lord, and I thank God that before he left, he gave his life to the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. But this apostle is still here. You cannot tell me that is not, oh, wow, that is truly the favor of God. He has the favor of God on his life, and he still has the favor of God on his life. Supernatural provision made from nothing and restoration of health. Favor is, the shield of favor is like a piece of armor, and it allows you to lay down your unholy desires for man's approval. And it allows you to soak in the truth. The truth of God is that you are the beloved. That's what the shield of favor does. It protects you from all the negative and horrible things that people say and think about you. It'll protect you from the negative thoughts that you have about yourself. Somebody could say something to you. You know, a lot of times people tell other people, well, you know, you ain't never going to be nothing. And, you know, we have a tendency to pick that thing up and carry it around with us. But the shield of God's favor, by all means, can simply be a scripture. Because remember, God is truth. So the word of God is truth. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, I believe, says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sitting up, listening to someone tell you that you will never be anything, or tell you that you're ugly, or that you're fat, or you know, just speaking negative things into your life. That's not of God. So if that's an imagination that needs to be cast down and placed on the outside of not just your shield of faith, but your shield of favor, because you have the shield of favor, and God gave it to you. You're entitled to it. It's not something that you had to pay for or you have to go and ask somebody else for it. This is God has given you freely. It's there for you if you want it. If you don't, it's not going to be forced on you. But we thank God that we have avenues, and that the avenues of how we're supposed to live our life, and the things that we're supposed to even listen to, and how we're supposed to feel or how we're not supposed to feel, or what the truth is. I thank God for those avenues, and the avenue, it's the Word of God. You should have be favor-minded. Luke 17:5-10. Let me find Luke 17. This isn't something that I'm just not this creative. Okay, Luke 17, thank you, Minister. 17:5-10.
Okay. It says, "And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey thee. But which of you, having a servant plow or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go sit down, for you will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may suck, and gird thyself, so till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he think that servants can do the things that will contain him? I shall not. So likewise, he, when we shall have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which we are to do."
It is, we are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there is so much that goes along with that. It tells us who we are, where we came from, what we're entitled to, how we should act, what we should say, how we should think, what we should look at, what we should listen to. We have the spirit of discernment. We have prophets in the land. We have apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. The Word of God tells us where to go, when to go, how to get there, what your journey should and could look like. But for some reason, we always seem to choose something else, or we want to do things our way. So I have learned that doing things my way can cause much trouble, and I do mean much trouble. Favor from God by living and exercising faith. You can do that just simply by saying it. Romans 17. Speak those things that, I'm paraphrasing, to speak those things that be not as though they were. Why would you walk around and say, I went to interview for that job, but I know I'm not going to get it? Or you see a job in the newspaper and you say, man, I'm not qualified for that job. I don't meet. Then you start dissecting the qualifications. I don't meet this one, I don't have experience here, I don't have experience there. I had, with the help of the Holy Spirit, had to come to the conclusion, Kathy, you are not hiring yourself. Does that make sense? You're not hiring yourself. You will look at the qualifications and go, I don't fit this one. I don't fit that one. I don't fit this one. I don't fit that one. But you are not hiring yourself. So send your resume in. do your phone interviews, do your face-to-face interviews, and God is in your hand. So, again, your shield of faith in God that you're going to get this job will automatically activate the shield of favor. You can't have one without the other. But the Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You might not think that you're going to get that job, but the word of God doesn't say, I've heard a lot of people say, faith is the substance of things hoped for. No, it says now faith. We miss times. I've heard people miss that. Oh, my goodness, that is such an important word in that statement. We have a tendency, or there have been tendencies of people to just quote a piece of the scripture. Do research on the word now. What does the word now mean? That don't mean yesterday. It don't mean next year. It don't mean 10 years from now. It means now. So, right, immediately. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So your shield of faith, your now shield of faith will activate your now shield of faith. So you've got to live favor-minded. You don't just go, I've heard in over the past 20, 30 years where people say, well, I put my salvation on the shelf. There's no such thing. You can't put your salvation on the shelf. You can't put your salvation on the shelf. So you can't put your faith on the shelf either. Either you believe in God or you don't. There is no gray area. There is no maybe Hebrews 11:1 is true on Thursday and Friday, but it's not true the other 5 days of the week. There's no gray area with the word of God. You must live favor-minded. Faith is an action word. Faith is a spoken word. Faith will obey us because it means our faith is in God. In order to have the shield of favor, you have to have vision. To discover favor, you must have vision. Genesis 13. I've got Genesis 13 and 14 through 18. I've got Galatians 3, 6, and 7. I'm going to go to Genesis 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, when between Bethel and Hai, H-A-I, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. That's vision. That is complete and total vision. And instead of them staying together, they saw that staying together, because now look at this. There was so much great wealth on both sides that they couldn't share that particular part of the land. Somebody had vision and said, you know what? Now, they could have taken another alternative. They could have killed off some of their cattle and made room. But that's not what they did. They saw increase. They took the shield of faith, the shield of favor that God had bestowed on them, and they saw the vision of it. They yet saw more increase. So in order for them to have that increase, they got a vision that said, let's spread out. It was as simple as that. It just wasn't a rocket scientist. Nobody had to. They could have killed off some of them that they had. But no, they had vision. Then it says in verse 10, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. That is vision. He said, here, let me give you vision as far as the eye can see, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, because you have such favor surrounding you. I need you to understand that I need you to spread out so that I can bless you even more, so that I can give you even more of an increase. Instead of sitting there shoulder to shoulder, knee to knee, toe to toe. Vision. And you must have vision from God in order to maintain the shield of favor. You will also have opportunities for God. Favor, the shield of favor gives you great opportunities. Opportunities are basically possibilities that afford you favorable outcomes in your condition and in your circumstances. It's a shield of favor on your journey for whatever your assignment is. It's a shield of favor for whatever your assignment is, whatever your journey is. So opportunity, what does that favor look like on the opportunities that you would have? For instance, I went and interviewed for a job, phone interview, and the lady said, Kathy, you're really great. You know, can you come in for a face-to-face interview? And I said, yes, and I went in for the face-to-face interview. Now, I was only supposed to interview with one person, but I got there and she said, well, do you mind interviewing with these other two people? So there were three people there. The favor that I had on the phone interview allowed me the face-to-face interview. Then when I got there, I was allowed to interview with three people instead of one. Now, you might say, well, that doesn't sound like favor. Let me finish. I interviewed with the three people. They told me I was overqualified for the job. I did not get the job, but I still feel like allotted me a favorable opportunity because I've been out of the corporate world for so many years. I needed the experience of the face-to-face interview, regardless of whether I got the job or not. See, they were looking for one thing, and I was looking for more than one thing. I was looking for the opportunity to interview and work on my presentation skills and my speech. And they weren't thinking about all of that. They just said, well, you're overqualified for the job. But that is totally another story, of which I'm not going to get on that because I think that's the craziest thing in the world. You're overqualified for a job, then that means you're qualified for the job, right? Okay, but that's how they do. Galatians 6:9. says that, Minister, can you get that for me? Galatians 6 and 9 says, the shield of favor is a reward of God. Galatians 6 and 9, what does it say?
It says,
the shield of favor is your strength. And if you would just look at the rewards, not in a monetary way, because like I said in the beginning, favor is not just simply based monetarily. That's of the world, but I myself was brought up thinking that that's favor, good luck. But I thank God that my relationship with God has matured me and allowed me to understand that that is not the favor of God. Materialistic things are not necessarily considered the favor of God. Having good health, just having a relationship with God, to me, you walking in the shield of God's favor. So the shield of God's favor causes us to be deemed righteous. It causes us to be deemed blessed. And we are highly favored of God. A lot of times we end up, sometimes we know we're doing it and sometimes we don't, being people pleasers. But when God delivers you from that, oh my God, that is truly the favor of God. Because you have allowed people to hold you hostage in your salvation, you know, in your personal life, on your job. But the shield of the favor of God is going to cause you to have a certain level of freedom. And we thank God for that freedom. The cause of being a people pleaser, low self-esteem is just, that's just not even the icing on the cake.
Rejection.
Yeah, it goes into what I call a satellite dish. A satellite dish has all these long antennas shooting from the north, south, east, west, up, down, left, right. It like you said, it could be the spirit of rejection. It could be self-sabotage. It could be the spirit of abandonment. It can cause you to be a cutter, you know, where you physically harm yourself. It could be from something that happened in your childhood. I'm sorry to say, but it is almost a norm with many of the women that I have conversations with that they have either been raped or sexually molested. It's such a norm that it's like somebody saying, can you go and get me a glass of water? And so people pleasing, some people think, well, if I don't do this or if I don't do that, they're not going to like it, or they're not going to fit in, and I'm not going to be able to get into this clique or that clique. That's because they're not whole. That's just one of the things. It's a long laundry list of things. But not being whole and not knowing who they are in Christ and not knowing their purpose. And I could go on and on. Self-sabotage can, wow, that's a big one. For self-sabotage, not knowing the value of your body. And someone comes along and you think in order to get, let's say, in order for a woman to get with that man, in order for that man to like them, they give themselves to him. That's self-sabotage, because that's tearing you down as a woman, as a person, as a human being, as an individual, as a woman of God. That's tearing you down, but because so many things have happened in your past and you weren't healed, delivered, or set free from those things, they were never addressed. You know, and I just use sexual molestation because that's just a major with so many women, a major and a norm, again, I'm sorry to say, but it is. I'd like to, can you get Luke 2:52 for me? I kind of like to think of us sort of as the FBI, and that is favor, blessing, and interest. I don't want to work with the FBI, but this FBI, I'll work with them. Favor, blessing, and increase. And what does Luke 2:52 say?
It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God.
How did Jesus increase? With favor and stature. How did he increase?
I believe that we know that he was God in the flesh, but we know that he was God in the flesh because he was also 100% being lost in the So I believe that it speaks to us as believers how we need to mature in our faith and our faith. He makes himself an example of in children growing in his anointing to put himself without measure. I think that lets us know that we can continue to grow and develop, you know, if we study, pray, fast, you know, like that, and continue to grow in wisdom. You mean?
What? You look at me like, no, she's not going to ask me a question. Yes, she is. What does the shield of favor look like to you in your life?
Shield of favor, in my shield of favor in my life is just making something out of nothing, stretching what beyond what natural is supposed to provide. Given supernatural increase. When you look at one thing and you say, well, this is going to stop that. The next day, you know, it's covering a multitude. Never really learned. One of my problems always learning how not to work. So I've learned that the favor of God not to work. It teaches me to look in the natural, look outside, as you say, if I take care of the birds, bees, why would I take care of them?
Right.
So I've learned more and more to have more confidence that not to worry about how that it's going to be saved. It's a wonderful thing because most of us, we all have that problem. I'm talking to people that it's not easy. Different religious that works with me, and we all came with the same truth. Our hardest problem is not our the word, it's believing and not word. Not word. Sometimes that's not to be the same word, especially as that goes on everybody. It's around so just in the public here.
Uh-huh.
You learn that God takes care of it. That once you grasp that, it's a wonderful thing. Finally, get that peace that he's always about. But always tell God that's it. Part of people not worry about it if you want to follow it.
Well, the word says that we should start.
Right.
And I think that's the problem we have. We want to play what I call tug of war. Because the cash appears and just let it go. And we throw it and then we hold on to one end and we're
right.
We're glad to accept it. We're saying we're moving on to our job.
We're too busy trying to do it ourselves. You know, and that's like it. That's part of our cast out for, okay, take it. Come on, let me try something myself. the office, leave it at the office. Don't turn around and get a return. Leave it and let him have it. You know, but like I said, we've been programmed so long to try to do it ourselves that when we come into teaching and understanding of God, it's just so hard. It's like a habit. We know to break it. He's given us all the certain excuses to break it, but, you know, it's hard to just let go. That means we have to trust in God
100%.
We barely trust ourselves at times.
Operate in God's favor if you don't have faith in God?
Yeah.
How?
Because God, you know how somebody always said, I found God, but God was never missing. God is going to fix you through things, you know. Back in my younger days, okay, some things that just happened to me, I didn't think about it. You know, I get out of high school, and the first thing my grandparents did, they did, like, here, just buy your first car. I go to college, I get a job, and I'm making money. I get checks from school. All this was happening. I was on AP. I didn't know why.
But right, that's what I'm saying. But did you know that that was the favor of God on your life? Or did you think that you just had good luck?
I thought that I knew I was blessed. Okay. Now, what sense did I say as far as good luck? I was 18. It was good luck. Things was happening. I was lonely.
Okay.
You know, but as I got older and looked upon my life, you know, I was blessed all night, didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
I took it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was God's favor looking upon me. And,
how does favor compare with God's grace and mercy? You know, because, you know, sometimes, you know, you think that, you know, we should make trouble for, but because of God's grace
and
mercy.
Yeah, we
cover us, protect them. Mm-hmm. So is that faith or is it grace?
Sister Arnette, I didn't hear you. And why do you say it's mercy?
Mm-hmm.
I know there are things that we don't want to do and we shouldn't do, but we do them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the scripture that says that I Romans 7. That I shouldn't do, I do, but that I ought to do, I don't do. You made me think, Deacon, you made me think back when I was in my early 20s and my son was 5.5 months old when he was diagnosed. And I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't have a relationship on any level. Through chemotherapy treatments, radiation, they couldn't do that because I was too young. But when I think about it, and of course, there was a doctor that even told me that he was going to die. And I can't even tell you how disgusted I was with God at the time. But I had no relationship with him. I did not know who he was. But today, when I think back on it, and my son just turned 32 years old, and it's cancer back, and I go, just like your son has said, I didn't deserve anything that he gave me. I didn't have any relationship with him and certainly did not appreciate him for who he was. And even today, I have to catch myself in how I respond and how I react, how my characteristics don't edify Christ when I respond to things. So I didn't, man, if back then, if that was the favor of God, how awesome, how awesome. And I guess my question I would be asking myself was, whose faith was I operating on? What level of faith did I have? Was it just verbiage? You know, because I believe in God, and you really don't believe in God because you don't even know who he is.
Character that's built up from where I am to where I am, from where I was to where I am now,
correct,
in order to just hold this conversation.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I have no regrets. I survived. I live to tell the story and to tell somebody else about the story. You know, so, like, you know, somebody wants to ask me, well, do you have a hard feeling for yourself? What? I did, you know, I lived my life. I got through without hurting anybody. I got through without hurting myself.
Hello.
You know, I'm here to death. Like I said, I'm here to death. What regret am I going to have? If I was in the grave, I wouldn't have no regret. If I was sitting in a hospital or a wheelchair in a nursing home, I would have regret, but it wouldn't do any good thing.
Right.
I said, I got a good story to tell, so why am I? I'm not mad. And I don't hold any grudges. What am I going to hold grudges for? I always tell, I'm not going to apologize for my life, but I'm also not going to regret any part of it. You know, because life is what it is. You make your choice. You know, it's up to you to decide to keep going or not. You know, any addict, it's not that I don't feel sympathy for, but you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to keep going down that same road, that's up to you.
What did Apostle say? Insanity is, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome.
That's it. Like she said, when you get sick and tired, of being sick and tired, you're going to make that decision.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. God's favor shields us from manipulation, fear, doubt, confusion, anxiety about our circumstances, which complicated by the enemy. And in that shield of favor, and in the shield of faith, because they just kind of intertwined as I was studying, they kept coming up side by side with each other, that the shield of favor, it generates spiritual strength. communication, mercy, vision, knowledge. That, you know, because the Word of God talks about the knowledge of God, how important it is to us. That when it is bestowed upon us, because it is, it's another form of a gift from God. Because if we treat each other the way the world says treat one another, and if we did the things to each other the way the things that the world does to each other, taking each other's lives, stealing, robbing, this, that, and the other. But the Word of God in itself, the truth of it, the knowledge of it, it's a shield of faith, and it's a shield of favor in itself. So when it on you, when it is gifted to you, when it is given to you, and you do not share it with someone else, could you be considered a spiritual hoarder? Yeah, a spiritual hoarder.
Not quite like the world.
Oh, well, stop it now.
Because it's like you're holding.
That
God, God has blessed his sister in his favor, and you're just like keeping it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not telling anybody about it, not telling about the glory or the wonder that God has put you on, that you're blessed with something that you could share with somebody else.
Well, wait a minute. You're not, think about it. Now, I see, when I say a spiritual hoarder, I'm also looking, my vision is in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen on television where it's like a tunnel. You can put, maybe 1 foot side by side, and it's like a maze. Thank
okay.
you. That's what I'm trying to think of, a maze.
You know what I'm seeing? For Color Girls, okay, well, Whoopi Goldberg's character, the probably yeah. was so cluttered
yeah.
with full boxes and I don't know what it was.
Everything,
you know, I mean, it's like, you know, you're literally walk in there and you're like.
Exactly, in a maze.
Like this, and she knew it. She was like, wait a minute, you moved my box.
She knew what everything was.
You know, it was a mess in there. So that to me is like the example of hoarding because she just had everything.
But my point is this, if you have studied and God has blessed you, spirit of discernment, and, you know, I mean, and you have maintained the Word of God like a sponge, okay, and you don't share it with someone, would that be spiritual hoarding, number one? You're not just denying another person. You're also denying yourself.
Okay, here we all go.
I don't think that we think about it as hoarding the Word of God, but when you have access to it and you take it in and God puts it in your spirit and you don't share it with someone else, you don't, you know, like you hear people saying you, God is birthing something in you, and, you know, you look like you're about to burst, and, you know, stuff
right.
like that. You're hoarding the Word of God. What does that mean? What do you think that means to somebody out there who's waiting?
Somebody needs to hear it. Somebody needs to sort of test them or to relate to something they to give them an idea of, like, they can go through it, but I can. But if you keep your story or your testimony to yourself, who's going to know? You know, if people out there that actually need to know, you know, traveling privileges that you made. So I always, when I was speaking, they asked, what's your ministry going to be? I said, my ministry is going to be that chance. I said, because even though God gives me answers all the time, we have a selective memory, and we always take a chance at the second chance. We forget about the other 150 chances in game, but we always look at it as the second chance. I said, that was me. I didn't realize what it is. We have those chances and don't realize that the chances happen. We don't have to realize it. Then when we realize it and actually take advantage of it, wow, that's my thing. No. So people need to hear that. People need to find out about it. We always tell them, you know, God, every day is new, much grace and mercy for us. That's a new chance.
Because I think that the shield of favor, again, it's just not something that you keep to yourself. For me, I don't like the word hoarding, but I've had some things that I've had to clean out and still are cleaning out some things because we accumulate so much stuff. But you've accumulated the word of God for 20, 30, some people 40, 50, 60 years. But you're still judging that person that walks through the door in a tight skirt. God didn't say release your thoughts and your feelings and your visions on that person. What does the word of God say? In loving kindness, oh my God. So we thank God. We thank God for the shield of favor that is on our lives. We thank God that we recognize that there is a shield of favor on our lives. I hear people say so often, but for the grace of God, there go I. I don't say that because I am who God says that I am. And I just want to keep it that way. I don't want to be compared with somebody walking down the street or somebody in the hospital or be compared to someone else's detriment. I guess that's the way to put it. I don't want to be compared to that. I want to be who and what God says that I am.
I know, like you talked about the script before, you remind me of the hospital says that somebody here to report, you know. Someone is a group to hear your voice, your voice is someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's saying, you know, everybody has a story. You know, and your story is going to be somebody.
Right.
You know, I mean, your story may not be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm not dealing with what you have walked through, what have you, but your story may be just this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think, you know, like, we always think that someone, you are going to speak to someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, then we are, you know, withholding, we could be withholding someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you could be withholding a word that could change or save somebody's life.
And
now, you say withholding, I say hoarding. They can, same thing.
And so if we don't do that, if we hoard or withhold,
mm-hmm.
then that person dies. The bloodline.
Jesus.
And then that person dies physically.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be spiritual.
Exactly.
So,
there's more than one way to die.
Right. And that person dies because they are assigned to us. And we haven't done what we are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe. That's what I believe.
Speak up a little bit, please. Saying this, think about the word of God. We know it's the truth. We know it's knowledgeable. But if you think about it as an assignment, if you think about the word of God as an assignment, because it gives you instructions. The word of God is simply a book of instructions, a how-to. How-to, what-to, when-to, why-to. So if you think about it as an assignment, we're on assignment all the time. I was bringing some groceries in the other night, and a gentleman was walking down the street, and he said, ma'am, can I help you take your groceries up? I said, no. He got halfway down the street and said, are you sure? You don't want me to help you? Can I just take them up to the second? And I just heard in my voice that let him take. So I let him take him up, take the groceries up. He put them in my apartment. I had $5 in my purse that I had found in a skirt pocket earlier that day. And I gave it to him, and I rested my hand on his arm, and I said, can I pray for you? And he said, I prayed for him. And when he lifted his head, he had tears in his eyes. He said, you trying to make me cry? I said, no, sir, I'm not. I said, my name is Kathy. He said, I said, what's your name? He said, Zachariah.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Zechariah, but I mean, you know, and the words that the Lord had me to speak into his life is that all those people that told you you were never going to be anything or amount to anything, they lied. You are a king. And when he was leaving, he said, "Can I bring you a piece of pie back?" I said, "Well, can I make you a pie?" You know, so, you know, you just never know what you're supposed to be doing, but know this, 24/7, we are on assignment. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we honor you, and we praise you for this opportunity to share the word of God and have a moment to discuss the shield of favor. And, God, we thank you that we've got a better understanding to know that our faith will activate that shield of favor that surrounds us and encompasses us. So, God, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, we love you, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you.